Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles of a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Hath he not understood it from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yes, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Good morning. I can't believe it's the middle of October already. Driving up here this morning, seeing all the crops being taken out of the field. And it's a reminder that Winter's coming. Today we're going to talk about probably the third and last in the series of the soul. And I chose this subject, can the soul be rightly divided? Now we're in the place of studying according to the principle of right division. So you think, well, how can the soul be rightly divided? Well, there's a verse in Hebrews 4:12 that says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm sure you've read this verse before and probably have wondered, I wonder what that means. How does the word of God divide asunder the soul and spirit? And the joints and marrow, that's the one that gets me. But this word dividing asunder is interesting in the fact that we've seen in our past studies that the words soul and spirit are sometimes used interchangeably, like they're the same thing. Or are they? This word dividing asunder is an interesting word. It's the Greek 3311, merismos. And I'm no expert in Greek, but it means a separation. That same word is used in one other place. It means a gift. Interesting. When Paul was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And merismos comes from the Greek 3307. The root word is meriso, to apportion, to disunite, to differ, to divide, to give part. So here we have some words that indicate that the soul and the spirit can be separated and divided. Remember back in our early studies when we talked, gosh, it's been a long time ago, about the sanctity of life, and we use this verse here. Welcome, sir. I think Lloyd has just arrived. And his lovely wife. Welcome to the Bible Forum. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And in this verse, man is the word Adam in the Hebrew, meaning mankind. And mankind here is a soul. And the body of that soul makes up the image of God. So our body is like the image of God's body. And the spirit makes up the likeness of God, the sinlessness, the access to eternal life, and so on. So we looked at that verse before. And then we looked at the companion verse to that, which is Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, the word I want to point out here in this verse that we didn't last time is the word man. The word man in this verse is the Hebrew eth ha adam, which means this same man, Adam. So he's talking about a specific person here, Adam. Adam was formed of the dust of the ground, and he became the living soul. I don't know why I threw this in, just as part of my notes. I never went back to study it further, but it's just on the side. But in Genesis 2:7, the breath, neshama, of life is used. In Genesis 6:17, it says to destroy all flesh. This is, the flood is going to happen, Noah, and I'm going to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath, ruach, of life. And then Genesis 7:22, after the flood happens, he says, all in whose nostrils was the breath, neshama, ruach, of life. I thought that's kind of interesting, and it's worth some study sometime. If anybody would like a homework assignment, we can arrange that. And the only other place neshama, ruach, is used together is in the verses where he's talking about the blast of the breath of his nostrils. The blast, neshama, of the breath, ruach, of his nostrils. This is how every living creature was destroyed. That's just on the side. So, in that verse, Genesis 2:7, we said last time that the living soul, who was Adam, was made of the dust plus the breath of life. The living soul is composed of a body and a spirit. And we're going to see throughout the scriptures, there's a lot that supports this. So a soul is not something we have, as some people think. It's something we are. And as a living soul, we have a body and a spirit. Now, in those verses prior to, we see there's a lot of references in the scriptures. I've listed several here that I think Bullinger calls metonymy. It's a figure of speech where one word is used in place of another word, especially a noun. So Ecclesians, we'll look at a couple of these. Ecclesiastes 3:18. Ecclesiastes 3:18-21. I said in my heart concerning the estates of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one being befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all one breath, so that man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto the one place. All are of the dust, and all return to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of beast that goeth downward into the earth? In Ecclesiastes 12:6-7, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth, as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. The dust shall return to the earth. That's the body. The word dust there is used for the word body. In Genesis, we've read some of those. In 2:19, it talks about out of the ground, God made souls. In 3:19, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Psalm 22:15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. The dust of death. If you were to say you were going to dust somebody, what does that mean? You're going to kill them, right? You're going to dust them. And there's many others. Job has several. 10:9 talks about the clay and the dust. 33:4-6. Elihu talks about the spirit of God and the breath and the clay. And Job 34:14-15 talks about the spirit and the dust. And Psalms 146:4 talks about returneth to his earth. So from this, I conclude, you may agree or disagree, but Adam was created in the image and the likeness of God, a soul. Adam was created with the body and spirit of God, a soul. When Adam sinned, his spirit changed. So man is created in the image of God, but in the likeness of Adam. Men are created with a body, but not with the Spirit of God. Men are created with a body, but with the spirit of the world. Remember, we talked about the sanctity of life, that not all babies are sanctified. Men become sanctified through Jesus Christ. And so the spirit of man needs to be reconciled and sanctified. We also talked about reconciliation. To return to the likeness of God, to become sinless again, to have eternal life again, like Adam had when he was first created. So when the spirit is sanctified, then the body is sanctified. And thus the whole person, the soul, is sanctified. The sanctity of life is through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Reconciliation comes by the death of Christ Jesus. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. But because of unbelief, not all souls become reconciled or sanctified. So here we can start rightly dividing the soul, because some souls have a Holy Spirit and some souls don't. Just turn on the news today. Turn on the TV. There's a lot of souls that don't have the Holy Spirit. So there are two different kinds of souls. In 1 John 4:3, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, even every Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come of the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And in Ephesians 2:2, says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there are different spirits. We looked at this verse, the only verse where body, soul, and spirit appear in the scriptures together, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there we said, well, it looks like there's three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Peter was talking last week about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity, and trying to understand the body, soul, and spirit is like trying to understand the Godhead. It's not that easy sometimes. On this verse we just read, Dr. Bullinger, in his companion Bible, has a structure that says this verse is returning to the whole person, one part of its spirit, the whole person, the living soul, the other part, body. So we concluded that the soul is spirit plus body. And Paul talks a lot about, especially in Romans, about the spirit and the flesh. And we won't go through all those verses, but we went through several of those last time. Some souls will always have this spirit they were born with in the flesh. Some souls will replace that spirit with the Holy Spirit of God. We know that some souls are chosen from the foundation of the world, and some souls were chosen before the overthrow of the world. Some souls will be counted as righteous because of their faith in God, like Abraham. Some souls will be sanctified through the faith of Christ. Some souls will be granted eternal life for their belief in the Son of God. Some souls will identify with Christ in all aspects of his work. That would be the body of Christ. We can also put it this way. The soul consists of the inward man and the outward man. You ever thought of it that way? Matthew 23:27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So this is the outward man and the inward man. 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. I think he's talking about a woman here, but it's the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The hidden man of the heart, the inward man. Romans 2:28-29, Paul says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew that is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, who prays is not for men, but of God. Job said in 38:36 in Job, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. 2 Corinthians 4:16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law after the inward man, says Paul. In Ephesians 3:16, be ye strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So we've seen the soul as body and spirit, the soul as body and flesh, the soul as inward man and the outward man. But is our calling any different? This always blows me away to read these verses in Ephesians 1. And it makes you think a lot of deep thoughts. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who having blessed us with every blessing that is spiritual in heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us out in Christ before the overthrow of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in his sight, having foreordained us to the adoption of sonship by Christ Jesus unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he engraced us in the beloved, and so on. And some religions believe that every soul exists throughout eternity. So there was a soul forever there and a soul forever here, and we're just that soul's occupying a body right now in this world, in this life. But let's rightly divide this idea. If a soul is a spirit with a body, of course, not all souls become children of God. Not all souls of God were chosen before the overthrow of the world. Not all children of God are accepted in the beloved body of Christ. In our first study, we talked about some of the background of the thoughts on immortal soul. And Socrates thought that the soul was separate from the body, something separate. And Plato added that the soul is eternal and exists before and after the body. These guys are deep thinkers. I know Peter's a deep thinker. So, if you think about that for a minute, concerning the body of Christ, the called out ecclesia, could the spirit part of the soul exist before and after the body part? Now I got Peter thinking deep. You know, these messages go out online, on the internet. And sometimes we get responses. And I got a response, an email from someone called Karen. And Karen's also a deep thinker. And she listened to my message last time on the soul. And she says, spiritual things are the source and cause of physical things. The spiritual world is the world of causes, and the natural world is the world of effects. That is deep thinking. That's beyond me. But we talked about 1 Corinthians 15:45 through 46. She says something to the effect that the spiritual comes before the natural. I'm thinking, well, what does 1 Corinthians 15 say? So it is written, the first man, Adam, is made a living soul. The last man, Adam, made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. This is my thinking. But she made the point that Christ was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. So the last Adam came before the first Adam. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. The spiritual can come before the natural. So could the members of the body of Christ have existed in some form, spiritual, without the flesh, perhaps, in the mind of God before the overthrow of the world? How did he choose us? How did he know us? I know he's all-knowing and everything is past, present, and future with God, but in our feeble minds, we try to think, well, how did he know us then to choose us? Could it be that we who understand and acknowledge the mystery of the body of Christ were reconciled to God when we were chosen out before the overthrow of the world, before Adam was even created? How did he choose us in Christ if we weren't already reconciled in some way with God? And we also looked at this word katalasso, to reconcile, and apokatalasso in Ephesians and Colossians. Apokatalasso. So when we believed the mystery of the body of Christ, when we believed we were part of that one new man in Ephesians 2, did we become fully reconciled, completely? Did that complete our reconciliation in the body of Christ? That's something to study. Something to ponder, something to think about. So when it comes to the soul, how is it? I was listening to Wayne Stewart this morning on the way up here, and he said that the soul is the essence of life, everything that we are. It's a good way to put it. But we are made up of a body and soul, a spirit and flesh. an inward man and an outward man. So there's no end to the study of this word soul. But with that, I'm going to conclude and have you give it some prayerful thought of things that were said, to study them out. You don't have to agree or disagree. And be happy to discuss it with anybody. But these are just some further thoughts on the word soul and how to rightly divide the word soul. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words today, and we ask you to bless all of your children in the world, especially those involved in the conflict in the Middle East. We ask you to be with them and give them comfort and give them safety. And you deal with those who are doing what they do. We know that there are no Jews today, no Gentiles today, just one new man. So we praise you for that truth. We ask you to you bless these saints as we go about our week this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.